Wisdom cries out in the streets, in the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you refused, have stretched out my hand, and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, have despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. The word of the Lord. On the western coast of Scotland, in the port city of Oban, there is a tower at the top of a high hill. If you look closely, it's the shell of a tower at the top of a high hill. It's called McCaig's Tower, although it was never finished. The story goes that a rich banker named McCaig decided to build a big, round structure overlooking the port city. Had a great view, but nobody's sure why he did it. Some figure he wanted to honor his family. Others believe it might have been a noble effort to employ the otherwise unemployed stonemasons. From the side of it, you can see the size of his dream, a huge tower with a great view. Unfortunately, McCaig began the project when he was 72 and expired at 78. His family then thought the whole thing was a stupid, silly idea, and they preferred to take his inheritance money rather than spend the rest of it on his tower. And this would be a completely sad story, except that old McCaig never thought much about what he was actually constructing. The thinness of the tower walls, for instance. The walls would have been so thin they would have never supported a roof. So the locals call it McCaig's Folly. Folly as in foolishness. In the opening chapter in the book of Proverbs, we're introduced to a lady. Her Greek name is Sophia, which means wisdom. Wisdom is a lady, says the book of Proverbs. She stands in the center of all human activity. She raises her voice, waits for anybody who might listen to her, and this is the way that Proverbs begins and prompts us to think about our lives. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Is it really a good idea? Say, for instance, you want to save some money. I thought I'd want to save the church some money. So I went over to Best Buy and found the cheapest laptop computer I could find, got the basic warranty, and then wondered why 3 months later it wore out after I had begun to use it. Why did I do that? Was that a good idea? Did I just hear somebody laugh? Sometimes it's comical. We touch the wall with the sign that says wet paint, just to be sure. Other times it's a good bit more dangerous. We touch the electrical wires to see if there's a current. And sometimes people simply reveal who they are, most of the time, in fact. Like the guy who dug a big hole in his backyard. He always wanted to have a swimming pool, so he got a swimming pool. He can't swim, nobody in his family can swim, but he got a swimming pool. It was silly. Or the lady who spent $75,000 on a new Steinway piano. That's what the short ones are going for these days. She had the perfect spot in her living room. Do you play the piano? No. Are you going to begin lessons? No. Does anybody in your family play the piano? No. Do you plan on having parties and hiring somebody to play the piano? Certainly not. I'm not the party kind of person. Why did you buy the piano? Well, it's such a beautiful piece of furniture. I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes when I say that Lady Sophia laughs. She says, "You have ignored my counsel. You have taken none of my advice. How long will you love being a fool?" Please note, this is not a matter of intelligence. Smart people do foolish things all the time. I realize we frequently call them stupid decisions, but the decisions have nothing to do with being smart or stupid. Better, I think, to use the language of the Bible, wise and foolish. Because within these categories, there are affirmations and promises. They go like this: if you are wise, you will flourish. If you are foolish, you will be exposed and blow away. I think of the man with a rusty old car in his front yard. It was a Chevy Bel Air, 1969 Chevy Bel Air. Shiny blue at one point, fins on the hood, sleek V8. That car used to be in his driveway, but now it's on display up on blocks in front of his house. I asked about the car. He said, "Oh, great car. When that car was running, it was running great. Just one thing," he said, "that car took me where I needed to go, not where I wanted to go." And Lady Sophia had a chuckle about that. Or I remember my old pastor friend who loved to go fishing. Whenever he went on vacation, he went fishing. If his family wanted to fish, then he enjoyed spending time with them. One time I was covering for him and did a funeral for one of his church members. All went well. The deceased got to where she needed to go. We were at the graveside. We said our prayers. The family departed. And two other church members approached me after the amen and say, "Thank you, Reverend. We appreciate your service." I said, "Well, it's my privilege. I'm glad to cover for your pastor. Is he on another fishing trip?" These two guys look at one another, nod, look back at me, and one of them says, "We've been telling him for years he might actually catch something if he ever put a worm on the hook." And somewhere in the city, I heard Lady Sophia laugh. Do you hear the wisdom? There's no heavy theology here, just accumulated insight into how we could live. The choice is clear. We can live in a way that allows us to flourish and allows our neighbors to flourish, or we can get distracted like a fool and throw it all away. Take a good look at that high-functioning professional as he climbs the ladder of his career. He has a dream job. He has a big house, a generous salary. He has a beautiful spouse and three children with straight teeth. And one day he just leaves it all behind and chases after the young blonde in the accounting department. He had it all, threw it away. Was that a good idea? Now, Lady Wisdom is ruthless about this sort of thing. "I will laugh at your calamity," she says with sarcasm. "I will mock you when panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. They will call out for help, these people, but I will not answer. They'll seek me, not find me." What Wisdom offers is a warning. There are occasions when it is too late to correct the situation and you must endure the consequences. They told that woman to get out of her house before the hurricane came, and she ignored them. They said, "You've got to leave now." She stayed put. Pretty soon, she's surrounded by high water, and her cat floats away. The rescue team pulls her out of the flood, and she says, "Well, I guess I better never do that again." It's a sad situation because she should have never allowed it to happen in the first place. Lady Sophia calls out, "I will make my words known to you. I will pour out my thoughts to you. Give heed to my reproof. Listen to my wisdom." And she watches as people ignore her, and she looks at what they do. The folly makes her laugh. Sounds rather heartless, I know, but we know this to be true. My brother, the engineer, called up one day. I think it was him on the phone, but he was laughing so hard I couldn't make it up. "Dave, is that you?" "Yes," he said. They said, "You ever hear of the Darwin Awards?" I started to reply, but he was laughing so hard he couldn't talk and he hung up the phone. So I looked them up. You know about the Darwin Awards? They are named after a scientist who came up with the theory of evolution. And they are given to the human beings who never evolved very much. The award committee decides this and describes it as the annual attempt to chlorinate the gene pool. The situations aren't very funny, except maybe in a sad sort of way. Like the lady in Australia, she checked to make sure that she really did put the grocery bags in the back of her Mazda. Now, she had left the car running, and she was on a hill, and unfortunately, she got out, walked behind the car, and it was then that she discovered that the parking brake was not set. Or King Louis III, he ruled France 1,000 years ago. One day he saw a gorgeous woman and decided he was going to get her. So he jumped on the horse and sped off in pursuit, and he wasn't watching where he was going, and he whacked the royal skull on an innocent doorframe. His brother kept his head and got a crown on it. Or how about the 4 geocache explorers who went hunting for a hidden treasure in the city of Prague? They're kind of like all over the city, in the cathedrals, in the alleys. And then they discover the next clue is in an underground waterway. Actually, it was a drainage tunnel. Well, they were certain they were on their way to find the next clue, and they were so excited about this that none of them paid attention that it had been raining for days. The dam was about to break, and down there in the tunnel, all their hopes were washed away, and so were they. You and I face life and death decisions every day. They might be big choices or little ones. It doesn't matter. And if we pay attention, we'll see that the deadliest choices are very attractive. We might not even realize it at the time, so Lady Wisdom's invitation is to step out of the closed loop of our own voice and listen to her accumulated wisdom, her experience, and pay attention to what might be at stake. So you go to the doctor with aches and pains. She prescribed pills to make you feel better. So you pick up the pills and you take one and you feel better. Then you take another one and you feel better. Then you take another one and start to think, yeah, I need these pills. If one makes me feel good, then two might make me feel even better. And if you're not paying attention, you could find yourselves chained to a fire-breathing dragon. And they will tell you at the rehab facility, this is a terrible chain to break. Lady Sophia stands in the middle of the city. She invites us to live healthy and productive lives. And her voice is just one among many. Like every other voice, she calls out for our attention, our commitment, our devotion, even our money. And every day we choose between wise and foolish. This is a moral decision. Because our decisions reveal whether we are honoring God or merely chasing after our own appetites. What the theologian contributes is a deeper understanding of what's going on beneath all of this. Now, these days, I have some very good friends who grumble whenever we sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." They grumble because they've struggled for 50 years countering, "I'm not a wretch. I'm a child of God. God made me good. I'm a beautiful creation." And that's true enough. But let's take stock of what it means to be in the image of God. It means God made us with the capacity for making choices. So we have to be alert. For there's something in our DNA that causes us to lean in our own direction. Something potentially toxic that bubbles up even in our best decisions. Wisdom calls us to pay attention, to look beneath the facade, to see what's really going on. I like the story Frederick Buechner, the author, tells. He was on a dreary commuter train somewhere between New Brunswick and Newark. The clickety-clack along the tracks bored him. The bumps on the track made it difficult to read the times. As he gazed around, he looked out the smudged window, then across the aisle, and his eyes fell on a bright photograph, large, colorful, across the wall from him. Here's what he says. It was a cigarette ad, and I forgot what was in it exactly, but there was a pretty girl in it and a good-looking boy, and they were sitting together somewhere by a mountain stream, blue sky overhead, green trees. It was a crisp, sunlit scene full of beauty, of youth, full of life more than anything else, and thus as different as could be from the drabness I've been looking at through the window. And then down in the lower left-hand corner of the picture, in letters large enough that I could read them, was the Surgeon General's familiar words about how cigarette smoking can be hazardous to your health, or whatever it is that they said, that smoking can cause lung cancer and kill you dead as a doornail. The irony was bracing, he said. The pretty picture, the fatal message. It was another voice calling out, "Buy this, it will kill you." And Buechner says, "I'm not picking on the cigarette industry per se. What I'm noticing is the world is its own worst enemy. And if we're not careful, we could fall in love with our own destruction." This is why Lady Wisdom calls out to warn us, to save us from ourselves. The voices of destruction are all around us, and some give in. The alcoholic says, "I will quit tomorrow." The diabetic says, "Another piece of pie won't hurt." The spendthrift thumbs through every catalog. The chronic liar deceives himself one more time. The lady with heart disease always orders French fries. And Lady Wisdom calls out, "Waywardness kills the simple. The complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live without dread of disaster. You know, that's a wonderful gift. God puts the wisdom of Sophia right in the middle of our lives, ready to give guidance so that all who hear her voice could follow her instruction and flourish. Is anybody listening?